What I can speak about is the longer-term survival with olaparib, because we have a much longer follow-up from the Study 19 olaparib maintenance trial. What we see there is that there is a better survival in patients on olaparib. The difficulty is that that difference does not reach statistical significance. And the reasons for that are complex. Firstly, 23% of patients in Study 19 on olaparib managed to access a PARP inhibitor beyond progression, either olaparib in a different trial or they switched to rucaparib or niraparib in a different trial. And we know that crossover has a major confounding effect on overall survival differences. The second is that we know that in patients who are treated with a drug for a particular tumor and have an improvement in progression-free survival, it is sometimes difficult to show that that benefit is sustained to show a difference in overall survival, particularly if the length of survival post-progression is very long, because they have multiple lines of other treatments, trial treatments, all sorts of things. And that, again, has a sort of mitigating effect on the differences in progression-free survival. Now, when you're dealing with ovarian cancer and you're dealing with BRCA-mutated ovarian cancer, one of the characteristics is these patients live a long time. And so many of these patients will go on to have several lines of treatment beyond the olaparib treatment where you demonstrated this benefit in progression. So it was very difficult for us to show a significant improvement in overall survival. There was still a favorable hazard ratio. It was actually 0.62 for olaparib, but it was not classically statistically significant. But one other very interesting thing emerged from this long follow-up with olaparib, and of course we will need to look for that in the niraparib study. And that is that up to last year, we had actually a median of 6 years follow-up on these patients. These are patients with recurrent ovarian cancer who've had two or three prior lines of treatment. And what was interesting was that 15% of patients with a BRCA mutation were still taking olaparib 5 years after they started the trial. So we've got a cohort of patients with a BRCA-mutated ovarian cancer who are on their second or third line of chemotherapy, go on to olaparib, and who do not relapse for more than 5 years. Now, that's unprecedented in the treatment of recurrent ovarian cancer, in my view. It's a small number, but it's significant for those 15% of women who continue taking the drug 5 years and beyond without any evidence of recurrence.
It's interesting, too, just the idea of somebody taking a PARP inhibitor for 5 years is pretty interesting because, like, up to now, I mean, I guess it's because in education, you're always talking about toxicity. I mean, I guess you've seen patients just sort of get into a groove, take the drug, have no problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. So one of our longest patients on the trial, I was fortunate enough to be introduced to when I was lecturing in Melbourne last December. And she has been on the trial for 7 years.
Wow.
She had four lines of chemotherapy. She has a BRCA mutation, had four lines of chemotherapy, went on to the trial, drew olaparib. She did need a dose reduction after some months. I can't remember how many. But after that, she stabilized and she's been on the drug for 7 years. And I caught her visiting the hospital before she was just about to go on holiday for the December break. 7 years on the drug. Absolutely fantastic. Completely well.
Interesting. So when you walk through these data that you just talked about, you would think that a physician in practice who had a patient with platinum-sensitive recurrence who was responding to platinum, like most people, would want to give niraparib to that patient, period, end of sentence, no assay.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, the other thing to mention about the long-term data on olaparib, I told you that 15% of patients with a BRCA mutation were still on the drug at 5 years. 12% of patients without a BRCA mutation were also on the drug beyond 5 years. So there clearly are cohorts of BRCA positive and BRCA negative patients who really are long-term responders. Now, we don't have the data for niraparib yet. It'll be, of course, extremely important to see whether those cohorts emerge from the niraparib data. But what you say is absolutely correct. If you demonstrate platinum sensitivity, then there's every good reason to hope that both patients with a BRCA mutation and those BRCA wild-type patients will benefit from the drug, and the data suggests that, and that there may be cohorts within those of BRCA-positive and BRCA-negative who will be long-term survivors and benefit in the long term. And of course, that's without determining BRCA status. And as the license has just come through from the FDA, there is no need to have a companion diagnostic to prescribe niraparib maintenance therapy in the USA.